Welcome to the February 2012 issue of Gospel Gazette Online. I am Tim Childs, the evangelist of the Hillcrest Church of Christ, located in Baldwin, Mississippi, and I'm grateful to be your host for this 5 to 7 minute audio feature, A Word Between Friends. Jesus Christ was sent into the world from heaven for a mission only He could accomplish. God's plan that He had strategized even before the creation of man was being executed according to the divine timetable. Jesus came to bring light into a world of darkness. He came to bring life and renewal to generations of men who were dead on account of their trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, 1-3. He came to bring recovering of sight to the blind and to heal all our soul's diseases. Christianity is a taught religion. If it were not for God's amazing grace, there would be no Christianity. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Titus 2, 11-14. From this reading in Titus chapter 2, one observation that should be made by all men who cherish the grace of God is that God's grace does not exclude the fact that God has expectations of holiness for our lives. When Jesus gave the Great Commission to His followers in Matthew 28:18-20, He told them to teach others, and having baptized them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to teach them yet some more, to observe all the things I have commanded you. Hear Jesus, the Son of God, in the book of John, Matthew 6:45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. When a person is willing to hear and learn the message of truth from the Father, he will be drawn to the Savior and willing to do His bidding, since He has been sent from heaven. God's holy word teaches there are things that are right, and since they are right, they should be embraced, loved, and practiced by all men. God's Word also teaches there are things that are wrong, and being wrong, they should be rejected, despised, and avoided by all men. Please note I was speaking just now about things that are wrong, not people who are engaged in the doing of wrong things. Our adversary Satan wants Christianity to be an untaught religion. Satan wants to silence God's people, and there are examples of this, both from the Old and New Testaments. One of the ways Satan tries to silence Christians today is through telling us we shouldn't be judgmental of others concerning their behaviors. One of my Facebook friends recently made an observation that a group of people need to study the Scripture. It was apparent to her they needed to spend more time in the Word because in a posted photo, there was a group of people bowing down before a life-size statue of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Interestingly, my friend was chastised for her statement that they needed to study the Scripture. As a third person said, we may not agree, but it is only God's place to pass judgment. At other times, people will try to silence God's people by misapplying such statements by Jesus as, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her, John 8:7, or, judge not that you be not judged, Matthew 7:1. Is there something wrong and sinful about discerning between good and evil, between right and wrong, per God's revelation of His holy will? Since when is it wrong for God's people to direct others to the Scriptures so they can learn of God's expectations for them, so they can learn the standard by which God will judge them? No, it is not God. Rather, it is Satan who desires that Christians be silent in today's culture so that the most men, women, and young people can meet their Maker and judge unprepared, steeped in sin and darkness, and consequently forever disallowed within the gates of the eternal city of heaven. One of Satan's devices he loves to utilize in the spiritual battle between light and darkness is ignorance. A lack of knowledge leads to destruction, Hosea 4:6. One of the things God's Word teaches us about is the coming day of judgment and man's need to prepare for it. So, God's people need to be teaching what God has revealed about the matter and urging others to also diligently prepare themselves. If I may say, the day of judgment is like a teacher who gave the students all the material along with all the questions that would be on the final exam. The only surprises that will come on the judgment day will be to those who have disregarded the word of the Lord. Please read 2 Timothy 3:15-17 and heed John 12:48. With God's expectations already given to us, you and I can respond in one of the following ways. In the first way, I could say, I am thankful that the teacher, God in this case, has made known His expectations for my life. I will learn His will and make application as I diligently prepare for the final exam. Or number two, I could say, yeah, I hear what the teacher says, but I don't believe the teacher, God in this case. I will just have to wait and see if God really meant what He said about my sins being washed away through baptism, that is immersion, Acts 22:16. A third way I could respond is by saying, well, the teacher, God in this case, has given us all the material and questions for the final, but you know what, I just don't care. I'm going to live my life as I please. I think I can fall under the umbrella of God's grace anyway because, well, everyone's a sinner anyway. I will live to the flesh under the delusion that I can keep living a life characterized by trespasses, sin, and lawlessness, and when my life of sin is over, I will wait to pass through the gate standing in a long line of sinners. Romans 6:1-2 teach against the fallacy of continuing a lifestyle of sin after coming to the Savior. Also note 1 Corinthians 9:27. Thanks, friend, for sharing these moments with me. It is my prayer that one day we can stand together on the other side inside the palace of the King of Kings.